Yo, what's going on, family? Let me know if y'all can hear me because I'm trying something a little different. I need to make sure everybody can hear the broadcast tonight. What's going on, family? This is your brother, Professor Carl Tone Jazones. Let me see. Something's going on with the YouTube joint. This is slow. So let me stop the screen sharing on this joint. But what's going on, family? This is your brother, Carl Tone Jones, and this is Office Hours with Professor Carl Tone Jones. And we're going to make it pop tonight. Just give me 1 second to finish. I guess I got to fix the damn screen over here. So let me see. Make sure we stop screen sharing. Put the right screen over here so everybody can see what's popping off. There we go. So we should be on the right screen sharing. We should be seeing the right screen now. I don't know what the hell is going on over here. So what's up, family? This is your brother, Professor Carl Tone Jones, and I'm going to put the Facebook journal over here. This thing's driving me crazy. Like I told y'all before, I'm trying something new here with the whole Facebook joint.
Professor Carl Tone Jones, and I'm
trying to put all this stuff together, man.
The Facebook.
Got all these different joints. Trying to show you on Black Junction, Office Hours on YouTube, and on Facebook Live. So if you can, fam, share the broadcast. I think we got it right now. I think we got it right about now. There we go. And let me know if y'all can hear me. Somebody press 1, 2, whatever. Let me know if y'all can hear what's going on. We have a dope show tonight. As I showed y'all at the beginning, that was the entrance to that was the final play of the Independence Day project, and we were able to show you how the family in Harlem responded. So, you know, shout out to the family in Harlem, you know what I mean? Shout out to everybody, and I'm trying to figure out how the fuck you get off the screen shit on this damn thing, but Trying to get off the screen share on this joint for Facebook. Man, I think I'm off of it now. Let me see. Trying to get off the damn screen share so we can actually have a conversation tonight, because I don't want to be playing around with this shit. Honestly, brother, dead tired, so I'm not going to even be, we're not even going to be on that long tonight. All right? Let's see back here. Okay, Brother Joe, you see you can hear? That's what's up. All right? That's what's up. Now I need to just get this camera rocking with the right joint, you know? I need to get this camera on the right page so we can start it. So family, make sure you share this broadcast, because we're going to, even though I'm only going to be on for a little bit tonight, we're all going to talk about some real stuff that needs to go out. Every time I try to share this shit, you know, they start blocking me. So let me see Facebook. Let me see. Stop sharing. Let me see. See if that worked for me for Facebook. Oh, damn it. Oh, damn it. Let me try this again. We're just going to go live, Facebook. Let's go live. Fuck it. So what up again, Facebook? If you're watching on YouTube, I mean, we're going live on Facebook. And that's all I'm doing with the screen sharing tonight. You know, let me make sure I stop playing around with this here. So make sure I stop playing with the screen sharing. So yeah, family, that was the opening. That was the world premiere for the Independence Day Project. And, you know, it was dope. Harlem was loving it. You know, we had a lot of good people out there. Shout out Queen Lois. Peace and love to you. I see my sister D. Samuels on. Yeah, we're going to try to build up the room. And by the way, I'm rocking this fly shirt. Brother stopped through. He was trying to get in on the advertisement, but he was a little late. So, but he did stop through. This is Pan-African Designs, home of Hero Apollo Apparel. Excuse me. I keep messing up things like that. Home of Hero Apparel. And wear the hero in you is their slogan. So I'm rocking the shirt tonight, man. Fits pretty well, you know, especially considering, you know, I dropped a few LBs. I hope y'all noticed it. You know what I mean? So, and you can find his website at panafricandesigns.com. Thank you, Sister D. Hey, yo, Sister D tries to kick my behind on Words with Friends all the time. You know what I'm saying? I had to show her that I am no joke when it comes to Words with Friends. You know what I'm saying? So, welcome to Office Hours. My partner is not with me tonight, unfortunately. We're missing our sister, Erica. You know, she has some personal things to deal with. So, you know, she's not going to be on the air tonight. But she will be back next week. And when she comes back, we're going to have a nice, powerful show next week. We're going to be talking about, and I'm sharing the hell out of this on this joint, so y'all got to excuse me for a second. My people need to be on board. But we're going to have another state of Black America, another Black America State of the Union next week. Sister Shannon Lane, what's good, sis? My sister Shanice Star popping in. All right, I see y'all. And we also have so we're gonna be doing that next week, and we're gonna have the PAX Inc. You know, that's right. I forgot Sister Shannon's last name is Jones. We're gonna have the PAX Inc. State of the Black Union. So it's gonna be the Black State of the Union with the with our sister, with our, not just a sister, but our nonprofit organization, PAX Inc. So family, as I share this with other groups and share this joint right here, you know, we're gonna get into some real spill real quick. And then, like I said, we're not gonna be on here too late tonight. A brother is exhausted. I want to personally thank everybody that came out in Harlem. You know, we had a beautiful weekend in Harlem. It was a 3-day event in Harlem. Well, 2 out of 3 days, but you felt that Black Power all weekend. First, you know, started off with Celebrate Thy Brother. On Saturday, Celebrate Thy Brother with the sisters celebrating Black men. Y'all see, this is my trophy right here. This is the only trophy, award, or whatever that I'm holding that I've you know, claimed near and dear. You dig me? Because this was given to me by Black people, sisters, queens who you know, represent. We don't need any Grammys. That's as Public Enemy once said. Who gives about a goddamn Grammy? You know what I mean? We got this right here. And I want to thank my sister Shanice Starr, Sister Pam, you know, all the sisters, you know, Sister Latoya, Bianca. There's a few other names. Listen, don't blame it on the faith. Don't blame it on the mind. Blame it on the heart. I mean, don't blame it on the heart. Blame it on my family, you know. And I want to thank everybody that came out on Monday night to Raw Space. I want to thank everybody that came out to Raw Space on Monday night to see the Independence Day Project. Packed the house. It was standing room only for a while. It was standing room. I'm telling you, because I stood the whole night. I didn't sit down the entire time. So I want to thank everybody for coming out. It was a tremendous honor to know that that 2 years that I worked on the film, you know, the vision that we shared, all the people who were involved and all the people who supported it, you know, that it wasn't in vain, that it was it was received by people, you know. That was very, very humbling. I'm still like not in a place right now. I'm still like up here somewhere. I'm exhausted. I haven't really slept in about a week. But I'm up here right now because, you know, because of all the love that was shown and just the response, you know. Thank you, Sister Shannon. Shannon, I appreciate that. I say my queens. I see my queens are our queens are representing Sister Shanice Starr. Thank you. Thank you. I'm an incredibly humble person. I don't. You know, so it's really like a difficult thing for me to accept praise and to not feel sort of like, you know, I'm just gonna say I'm extremely humbled by all of it, because for one, my purpose was never to do this for praise. My purpose was to do this because I saw a need for the community. It took great sacrifice and a lot of people sacrificed and struggled and worked with me on this mission to complete the Independence Day Project, and Harlem showed out. So, you know, much love salutations and praise for everybody that was involved, and I thank everybody for coming out. The DVD itself is selling out. I have to put another order in. I was just talking to the brother prior to getting on the air and letting him know I have to put another order in. You know, so I see my cuz. Hey, what's going on, Cindy? I see my cuz is popping up here. Peace, brother David. What's going on? So I see we got the family in the house. And like I said, family, seriously, we're going to bring the Independence Day Project here to Philly on February 18th. In Philly, I'm going to let y'all know right now, New York just set the standard. New York, you know what I'm saying? And I know my brothers and sisters in Philly are always in competition with New York. But let me tell y'all something. You got some stiff competition because New York set the standard. You know, New York represented, Harlem represented, you know, Raw Space represented. Big shout out to, you know, everybody from the Harlem Liberation School that's who presented and who brought the Independence Day Project, the world premiere, to Harlem. So shout out to everybody from the Harlem Liberation School, man. Love you guys. Love you all. You know, I appreciate you all. I see my brother Shamash just joined us. Peace and love, King. And Black Power as always. I'm gonna get into tonight, family. Like I said, I'm not gonna be on here long, but there's some things that's going on that we need to be abreast of. Yesterday we had the State of the Union. Was the first one that Donald Trump, Agent Orange, presented to the public. And I want y'all to understand something, man. He touched on a lot of issues, but the one thing he never touched on, he talked about issues with the Korean conflict, North Korean conflict. He talked about issues with you know, DACA and immigration. He touched on a lot of different issues. And he basically addressed every segment of American society on politics, except for issues concerning Black people. And for a couple of years now, Black people have been ignored. you know, in turn on a larger political spectrum. It's almost as though in terms of the American politics, Black people are irrelevant now. And that's something that's very, very important for us to recognize and understand, because when you're no longer newsworthy and you can pretty much start wiping out the history, which has been happening. They have been systemically wiping out Black history, things that tie to Black history. Recently, it was discovered that a history book in the South had totally eliminated the story of the Trail of Tears. And while a lot of us don't understand or think that, that's a Native American conflict, actually the Trail of Tears talked about, you know, a lot of Blacks, escaped slaves, Africans, who then migrated and integrated with a lot of Native American tribes in the South. And during that trail, there were a lot of Black people who suffered biological warfare when they stuffed those blankets with smallpox. And they took them, and so that story's been eliminated. They've already eliminated the word slavery out of many of the history texts. So now, you know, they're saying that our ancestors were here, they were involuntary immigrants. These are things that that's vital to understand, because once they start erasing you from history, and there's no footprint of you in history, they then can erase you physically, you know, from the present. And what we're seeing right now, and you could take a look at even with the new museum in Washington, D.C., that museum doesn't really speak to the history of Black people. It speaks to the entertainment value of the Black culture. And that's something that the European has always craved. You know, they've always craved us as entertainers. They've never, you know, they've always craved our talents, the way to quantify and produce and exploit us for our talents. So that's a big emphasis. That's why you have things in that particular set, but they don't talk about all the different form, the different contributions to American history that Black people have made, how Black people saved America on several different occasions through several different wars, and then through the blood, sweat, and tears of our ancestors and elders. And so, you know, we have to pay attention to what's happening, because this is basically, you know, a eugenics operation happening and a eugenics war that's been declared on us. Well, the war's always been declared on us, but now they've gone into stealth mode. And what you have to see is that the policies they've been slowly putting in place, while they have us outraged at something Trump might say, you know, secretly behind closed doors, they're creating policies. You know, they don't have us talking about the Black identity extremists. And we have two cases right now with Black identity extremism, you know. And let me pull one up real quick. Because we have a case. Let me see if I can pull it up real quick on because I know that I shared one on Facebook earlier. So just give me 2 seconds, family. I'm going to find it, and I'm going to talk about it. You know, let me see if I can find it real quick on my page. But there was a case, I believe it's in Texas, where they arrested a brother for. Let me make sure I got it. Where they arrested a brother for, you know, having firearms and being a part of a gun club. And they also, you know, looked at this brother. Yeah, here we go. So basically, they arrested this brother, and they basically stated that this brother who had a firearms, they identified him as a Black identity extremist. And Christopher Daniels, this happened back in December, and now he's on trial. And this happened in, where was this at? This happened in Dallas, Texas. You know, you got a lot of revolutionaries, Black revolutionaries currently today working in Dallas. And Dallas is a very, very powerful, they have a very, very powerful underground of Black liberators, you know. And so they've said that the FBI has been following this brother for 2 years. They've been tracking him for 2 years. You know, current day, modern COINTELPRO. Okay. Now we have another one, and I'd like to thank my, Harlem Liberation family, you know, and specifically the sisters and the brothers that run Y Accountability, you know. for Amanita Jeffries. All right. You know, that's currently, you know, that's a black identity extremist, you know, case right there that's happening in New York City, you know. And so we need to be aware of this. And they locked this sister up in a protest for jaywalking. You know what I'm saying? You know, so the family is showing out tomorrow. Shout out to Y Accountability. They're going out to the courthouse tomorrow to represent. You know, family, I wish that I could be there with you. But I am going to make sure that we promote that, you know, that we, you know, share this information like hell. Because what you got going on is they haven't stopped murdering us. They haven't stopped finding ways to murder us, family. They haven't stopped finding ways to take us out, family. And with more evidence of that, if you need evidence of that, then you can look to this story that just took place in Baltimore, Maryland, a few days ago, where they had this big operation, this big sting operation, where they currently are dealing with police officers who are driving around Maryland, driving around Baltimore, right, with toy guns in their cars, so that they could plant the guns as evidence on these young brothers that they catch in the street. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, we still have the same twisted thing, you know, ties with law enforcement, you know, becoming part of the larger government apparatus. And family, this is, you know, this is key for us to point out, because you also had a case out in, I believe it was in the Midwest, where a sheriff was offering instruction, you know, offering instruction to new cadets and new recruits, police recruits recently, when they were asked questions about how to engage particular situation. And he was saying, well, if they were black, you know, they asked if we catch a bunch of children smoking weed. He said, if they were black, kill them, shoot them. And if they got women, if their mother's pretty, then go fuck them, sleep with them. That's what he said, you know? And it was captured, and I guess one of the cadets was uncomfortable with this. Turns out this former, they eventually let him go, but he should have been arrested for terrorism, you know, for promoting terrorism. But they let him go, and they sent him, and they found out that he was from the Los Angeles Police Department. So he was a transfer from the Los Angeles Police Department. I guess he got an upgrade working in one of these small towns. And see, this is what we're talking about. This is a national mentality. This is a national policy of harming black people while white identity extremists harming us, labeling us as black identity extremists just because we'll rock this shirt, just because we'll wear this on, just because we'll live in society, and we want to identify with being African. The red, black, and green is seen as a bridge us all. And, you know, that's crazy, because that was a scene, if anybody's seen the Independence Day Project, the first scene of the movie talks about the black identity extremists. And it was purposely put in the movie because we knew that this was going to be an issue that we had to address. We can't let it die. We had to cover it, you know. So that's why we put that in the movie. You know, the black identity extremists, because, you know, that was an add-on. The movie was finished, but we added that to the movie because we want our people to be prepared and aware of what's happening. You know, like I keep telling everybody, the whole purpose behind the Independence Day Project is not just to create a movie. It was to create a movement. You know, this isn't new either, family. This is stuff that our elders, you know, did back in the day. Our ancestors did back in the day. They were pushing for black liberation too. Don't get sucked into the February Black History Month, the commercialization of Black History Month. Our family was out there fighting for black liberation. They weren't fighting to be equal. They were fighting for liberated black communities. And a lot of that got washed away. They got whitewashed throughout the history. A lot of black collaborators added and aided to that too, you know? So this is why we have to start being more vigilant about seeing who's in our ranks. And we have to start being more vigilant about the ideas of black empowerment, period. And the ideas of pushing toward independent black community. We can't be soft like marshmallows when it comes to being assertive and recognizing that your children deserve better. And that's the best way I can put it. Your children deserve better. And, you know, the first thing we let me explain something else to you, family, and why why I believe we're going to have to start really looking at the survival of our community in the next couple of years. There's a situation going on right now in South Africa. Look this up. There's a situation going on in South Africa right now, family, called zero debt. Now, for those of you who don't know, South Africa has been, you know, one of the places in the world that has consistently worked towards enforcing eugenics policies on Black people. Now, look up the word eugenics. I really don't have enough time to explain it all, but basically the eugenics movement was started by a man called Francis Galtrin. Okay, he was the cousin of Charles Darwin, and they both had similar philosophies where they basically assigned intelligence and relevance to survival based on your race, color, and where you came from in the world. And through the Eugenic Society, they created this particular doctrine that stated that the eugenicists was to, you know, put in place their philosophy was to thin the herd. All right, and they call it culling. You know, like if you have farm animals and you have like a sick calf, you would kill that calf because you didn't want that calf to regerminate, or you didn't want that calf to reproduce because it would probably, the DNA would make probably tainted, and it would reproduce tainted, you know, generations. So you would kill off that calf, and then you would, you know, to make sure that that bloodline didn't contaminate the other bloodline. Well, that's what eugenics is. That's what eugenics is. But basically, eugenics is identify you as the darker you are. The darker you are, the less likely to, for you to have capable intelligence. There's a less likelihood of you being a productive member of society. Therefore, as a eugenics, you want to stop that bloodline. And there were eugenics laws all throughout history, specifically in the 1920s, specifically here in Pennsylvania, where they were culling white people. They were, you know, people who were born were, you know, mentally disabled back then. They would say, no, we're going to, they would have court cases where they would pretty much, they would neuter them. You know, they would either get vasectomies for the men, and they would burn off the or cut the umbilical cords of the women. But basically, that whole philosophy was race based, and this is how people like Margaret Sanger, J.D. Rockefeller, and the Ford Foundation, the Carnegie Foundation, all these foundations founded. You know, they were all big eugenicists. Now I'm coming to this for a reason. All right. So follow me for a second. South Africa, during the fall of apartheid in South Africa in the late 80s, early 90s, they started, chemists and biologists started putting together vaccines that would neutralize or basically make it where Black women couldn't have any more children. That's right, family. They were making sure that they cut off the bloodline. Look up Project Coast. Project Coast. That was a South African government operation that was put in place to sterilize Black women through vaccinations. It was genetically placed perfectly to sterilize Black people through vaccinations. Now, let me explain something else to you, family, because something else we need to know and understand. What's happening in South Africa right now is they got this operation called, excuse me as I continue to share this, they got this operation called, called Zero Debt. Now, pay attention to Zero Debt, y'all, because this right here is where they've determined that there's going to be a day in March. They've already calculated that there's going to be a day in March this year where they're going to run out of drinkable water, usable water, fresh water. So what they're going to do is they're going to start rationing the water to the people of South Africa and Cape Town. They're going to start rationing the water, and they're going to bring the military in to supervise it. You know what that's called? That's called martial law. That's called martial law, family. You know what I'm saying? That's called martial law. They're going to institute martial law, and they're going to coordinate lines where people can go and get water and gather water from. So got to pay attention, because there was a certain meeting that took place in the early 90s off the coast of Buenos Aires called, where the title of the conference was called Agenda 21. And Agenda 21 was put in place by, why can't I ever remember this bastard's name? Give me one second. I'm going to figure it out. Hold on. But there were policies put in place. And actually, some of these policies were put in place in the 70s, actually. Give me one second. I'm going to get this damn name. George Bush. Damn it. I'm gonna come up with his name. His name is gonna come to me because he's a common thug. But anyway, but they put together these plans to exercise war on third world countries, or so-called third world countries, basically exercise warfare on us, black people, and or melanated people across the world. And they were gonna use food as a weapon, water as a weapon. So they put these policies in place, and this was in the United Nations, by the way. And they put these policies in place, and now they have all of these different places where they own the water all over the world, privatized water. They've seen water as a resource. Well, Agenda 21 speaks to when they were going to utilize, they were going to deal with the scarcity of resources, and it was all about this urban renewal. Sound familiar? It was all about creating green spaces. Sound familiar? It was all about, you know, addressing climate control. Sound familiar? What great event did you just see this past summer that was leading up to this? You saw that collapse of that iceberg, right? And they said the iceberg was the size of Maine, right? One of the ice shelves fell. Now all of a sudden, ice shelves fall. They're spraying the sky with all types of crazy shit that we don't even talk about. And then you got all the different you know, situations where now they're using scarcity as a way to address and attack the people. So family, what you're seeing here is the Hunger Games scenario being played out right in front of you. This is a Hunger Games scenario being played out right in front of you. Let's see, Sister Shannon, you said connect the dots. Ford Foundation, Big Philanthropy, the nonprofit industrial complex in the 70s after infiltration of the Black Nationalism Movement. Yeah, this is why. When you look at all the things, and there's a person here in America that y'all need to really pay attention to. His name is T-Bone Pickens. And T-Bone Pickens is buying waterways all throughout the South, especially throughout Texas. And what he's doing is he's buying them high enough in the land to where he can build dams so the rivers and the waterways will run straight through his land, and he can utilize that to have control over that national resource, you know what I'm saying, or that natural resource. And this is what's happening all over the world. But this paper, we need to really pay attention to what's happening in South Africa, because I talked about that here in a lecture at Black and Nobel several years ago. It's called Poor Etiquette. Matter of fact, this was the DVD that we put out there that we did the recording on. It's called Poor Etiquette. When we start talking about the fact that water, eventually, you know, we would have to get into sustainability. You know, I also did one called Solutions that we talked about that as well. And talked about the sustainability, the need for us to be self-sustainable. And it's wild, because in my class last night, I was trying to talk to my students about, you know, how we need to be prepared. And one student just said, basically, this is way too much for me to digest. I can't take it. And that's our biggest problem, is we deal with the situation as children. So when the real situations become prevalent to us, we start looking at it from a position that we can't deal with it anymore. Let's see. Brother Ron was good. Brother Ron. Brother Ron, I need to holler at you, Brother Ron. My brother Al Tariq. Let me see my brother Joe. They're, everybody's on YouTube watching. That's what's up. So, you know, we have to be serious about what's happening. I said back then, this was in you can go check in 2014. I was telling people, in 2015, I've been telling people, we need to have warehouses where we stock supplies, safe houses where we stock supplies, where we stock not just gallons of water, but thousands of gallons of water, tons of water if necessary. You know, we were talking about getting those big tankers that you could fill up and put water in. We were talking about the necessity for doing that. Because when white supremacy comes to our communities, they're not going to have to do anything, you know, like storm our buildings, this, that, and the other. All they're going to have to do is lock down the highways, make sure we can't get out, and turn off the water and electricity. That's all they have to do. And eventually we'll cannibalize and turn on each other, because we've never, you know, been in a situation where, or well, I can't say never, but it's been a long time since Black people have been in a situation to which we address things from a unified perspective, and we're able to coordinate and be organized and use strategy and take strategic measures, you know. So they would have to do is cut off the supplies. I asked questions earlier, you know, about so I'm gonna ask you, family, this is really important for you to figure out tonight. If they killed the cell phone towers, how would you communicate with your family? How would you know? Would you know where to live? Would you know where to meet at? Would you have a contingency plan for that? All right. I'm only saying this because they have mechanisms in place that do this. You know, we went to the Million Man March a few years ago, and they created, they blocked out all cell phone usage. You couldn't find any signals nowhere in the mall, the national park, nowhere. Couldn't find a signal. You also have to ask yourself, if, you know, what would you do for water? Now, me, I could bring some of my stuff up here. I have purification tablets. I have life straws. You know, I have Flick and the Flint for firewood. I mean, for fire. I have the cotton balls that are dipped in alcohol, and then you rub them and you put them in. Use a Vaseline or petroleum jelly, and what you have is instant fire. It catches. You put a spark on it, and it catches fire just like that. There's simple things like that that we need to know. Do you have a bug out bag in case you need to break out? You know, large cities, you know, what they did in New Orleans, man, you know, they were hanging on the bridge, killing Black people. Blackwater was the name of the military outfit that were hanging on the bridge, killing Black people trying to leave New Orleans. That piece of shit, Chris, whatever his name, the American sniper, you know, he bragged about being on the rooftop of the Superdome and gunning down Black people as they tried to leave the city. You know, Chris Kyle, that's that piece of shit name, and he rest in shit, you know. The bottom line is, family, you know, they have contingency plans and they're organized. I saw it with my own eyes when I was in Baltimore. And if anybody's in Baltimore and you actually were in that city during the Freddie Gray uprisings, at any portion of it, you saw the complete efficiency of the military. They owned and occupied that city within, specifically the Black neighborhoods in that city, within a 24-hour period. All right? So, you know what I mean? We have to be prepared for those things. And now, where they've created this environment where the president himself is not addressing the community, the Black community, that means that most likely there's an extermination plan in place. And we've been trying to warn people for a long time that when they have no use for us, we are their biggest threat to genetic annihilation. Dr. Francis Cress Wilson has been warning people since the 70s. You know, we have to be prepared. You know, we have to start taking things. And we don't have the organization to deal with them for when they round us up right now. We can talk tough all we want, but we don't have the organization to handle that right now, family. Right now, what we have right now is a bunch of willful souls, you know. We know what can happen if we bring that Black power together and start organizing it. But right now, we're not in a place, you know, to be out there, and we have to put together a plan for that. So, you know, one of the things that I want to talk about, you know, and I want to make sure I'm staying on task tonight, because sometimes I can go a little off, you know, off topic, but. Okay, so we covered everything so far. So dealing with this whole notion now that they've created the Black identity extremists and things of that nature, and they've created all those the different policies in place. Now they're getting this for bullshit policies, laws that stay on the book. Understand this one law that's never been removed. There's one edict by the Supreme Court that's never been removed. 1857, the Dred Scott decision. Scott versus Sanford, all right, in which they declared, you know, Judge Tenney, you know, the sitting senior judge at the time, declared that there was no rights of an African born slave or born free that a white man was duty bound to respect. Now, this is something that was overlooked, but 2 years ago during the presidential primaries, when you had the Republican primaries going, you had a former governor of Arkansas by the name of Mike Huckabee. Look this up. Mike Huckabee got on the podium, got on the stage and said that the Dred Scott decision is still the law of today. The Dred Scott decision is still the law of the day. These are policymakers. In the state of Arkansas, this was the number one legislator at the time. This was the executive legislator of Arkansas at that time. You know what I'm saying? So family, we have to understand that they recognize these laws and policies. And this is why they create things like Stand Your Ground, because they know they can get away with murdering us. And because we don't have rights that they are to respect, you know, culturally speaking, they're protected. You know what I'm saying? We have to recognize those things. We have to recognize how they have consistently put things in play, how they have consistently put orders in play, how they've consistently put policies in play. And see, you don't recognize it because the social engineers that's at the top putting these plans and policies together, you never see their faces, and they're very quiet in the street, and they utilize disasters. They utilize, you know, different types of controversy to put those things in place. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, exactly, Sister D. Trump said, what do you have to lose? Apparently everything. Well, let me tell you all this. We would have lost it under Hillary Clinton, too. And I tell you, the only difference between the Democrats and the Republicans is the ways they plan on killing us. The Democrats, the Republicans will kill you with one swift blow. They don't care. They're stomping down the street. They see you coming. So they represent the wolf, you know? The wolf, you know, is tactical, yeah, sneaky, yeah. But at the end of the day, the wolf is the wolf, you know? And the wolf pack will get you. But the Democrats are sly foxes. They kill you with a death of 1,000 cuts. So you don't even see it coming. You don't even realize. You just know you're getting sicker. You can't even figure out why. You're bleeding out. You don't even know where the fuck the cut's coming from. You know? So yeah, we don't win in none of these political parties. You know? And this is one of the things, you know, when I talk about, you know, black empowerment and things of that nature, you know, we need to get serious and have serious discussions and face-to-face. None of this, see this here, I'm just giving you the open warning. Face-to-face, we need to have serious conversations about what's popping. Because I can tell y'all, you know, they're on to us. They've been studying this one brother for 2 years. They're on to us, you know? Let me see. I'm going to find out this bastard's name. I don't know why they keep giving me George Bush. I don't know why I can't remember his name either, because he's a sick son of a bitch. Not Brzezinski. Zbigniew Brzezinski is one of them, but it's not Brzezinski. Hold on for a second. Hey, Henry Kissinger. Piece of shit. Henry Kissinger, that's it. I don't know why I can never remember his name. Nasty rat bastard. Yes, Henry Kissinger is the one that always seems to be that slithery lizard-like entity that's creeping up with all these damn plans. And he was the one who came up with the policy in the 70s to weaponize food, you know, against third world countries. And they also sat on the PNAC plan. And y'all need to study the PNAC plan, the plan for a new American century. Need to study those plans. Everything we're telling you, family, is, you know, everything, you know, we're bringing up, this is not like science fiction, and this is not, you know, conspiracy theory. These are facts. Yeah, conspiracy, but not theory. It's facts. You know, all this is reality. The problem is what we've done with history, and we've done with our current history and current events, is we sort of placed them in this mythical place, or we placed it in this place where we romanticize about it as if it's not happening to us. You know, we've taken it, we fictionalized our reality, we fictionalized our history. So we're not looking at these things as though they're happening to us, but this is our reality. You know, this is what's happening to us, family. And we have to, you know, be on code, and we have to understand what's happening to the Black community. And we have to start being accountable, because we can't consistently look at it as like, oh, this is too big. You know, because in my class, the conversation they wanted to have before was about how a young sister, you know, who was a clothing designer here, how she took tags off of H&M clothes and started putting her tags on them and selling them for like 10 times as much as what she paid for them. So you're not, that conversation is not too big to have. But the other conversation about what's really happening in the world is, you know. So let me see, we have some questions. Brother Al-Tariq, he said, is that Elijah Muhammad? Yeah, definitely. And Brother Al, you know what I'm saying? You know it's popping. Okay, see, so my brother Patrick Alexander is out there with us watching on the Freedom Train Radio Network. You can watch us there. You know, Black-owned entity, a Black-run radio internet entity, as we start to move further away from these entities here. You know, so family, the importance of us bringing this conversation to a head is that, you know, we're in trouble. And here's the scary part, because as an anonymous group of people right now, we can really take advantage of that and start building the infrastructure. We can really start organizing and coordinating. But some Negroes have the attitude, the egos, that means them think that they need to have their, you know, they need to be on the Mount Rushmore of Negro politics. And unfortunately, that's going to be what's going to sink us. Yeah, Sister D, we fictionalize our reality every day. We talk about Black, we talk about white supremacy, we talk about the prison industrial complex, and then as soon as we leave, we go outside and get on some old fuck that nigga kind of mentality. You know, we forget all about white supremacy. We forget all about how they set us up. We forget about how they put the drugs in our communities, and we forget about the fact that you know, here's what we talk about. We talk about gentrification, right? Let me give you an example of how we fictionalize this. We talk about gentrification, right? And we talk about how Black people don't have any money, right? But then we start talking about, well, if we start using group economics, we can come together. But then people say Black people don't have any money. So I was just in Harlem, right? Densely populated Black neighborhood. You know what I saw on every block in Harlem? I saw whole avenues full of stores. Whole avenues, whether it's 125th Street, 131st Street, you know, 127th Street. I saw 118th Street. I saw 138th going toward the Bronx. Black neighborhoods with nothing but stores that were owned by everybody but Black people. So you as Black people, we as Black people, continue to sustain people who are not Black with money we claim we don't have. Meanwhile, they're able to send generation after generation back to college, build wealth and empires in their own communities off of the money we claim we don't have. You see how we fictionalize our reality? We could talk about gentrification and all those different things, but it's happening and we're not doing anything about it, because we you know, oh, you know, it's true, but I need this loaf of bread from this particular place. Well, I need these clothes from this particular place. And, you know, we don't think about ever collectivizing and creating our own situations, you know. And starting small and building up. We want to start it with this brand new. We want the whole kit and caboodle. We want the whole building, you know? No, so that's another example too, is, you know, fictionalizing our reality. Look at the craze over this Black Panther movie. And, you know, I tried to bite my tongue on it. I mean, I probably end up watching the movie, but it's because we need to be able to break down the messages within the movie. But I'm looking at the Black Panther movie, and I'm looking at it from a perspective of, where our perspective of it is, and how I saw a sister post today pictures of some of the characters in the Black Panther movie, and the first thing she hashtagged was pride. And I'm like, how in the fuck can another group of people give you something to be prideful for? Marvel Comics, the Marvel chain is not owned by Black people. And I'm going to make a prediction here. In about 10 years, less than you're going to find out that some of the people that own Marvel Comics are just as perverted as the Harvey Weinsteins and all the other, like the Miramax companies and all that. You're going to find out they're just as perverted, and they got just as much perverted shit going on in their entities too. And we're, you know, and we're salivating over that bullshit, you know? This is why, you know, we go to all these extreme lengths, and we go to all these different things when our reality is right in our hands, but we don't want to deal with that. The reality is too real. So we'd rather deal with the fictitious. We'd rather exemplify pride in something that's fictitional, that's not real. They stripped Africa of all those resources. The resources to build Wakanda, yeah, they're all still in Africa. And so are the Chinese, and so are the goddamn European countries, the Portuguese, the Italians, the French, the British, all them bastards are still in there, stealing Wakanda's goods. All of them. But we'll deal with the fiction, because in the fiction, we win that war. Or do we? Y'all really don't know the story about the Black Panther. The Black Panther abandoned his people. And when he abandoned his king, he abdicated his kingdom. That's when that great African country went into turmoil. And he had to come back and kill other Africans to restore order. So what is it really telling you? Is that African pride, or are they really selling you African dysfunction? And we're going to have some pride in that. When the real Wakandas was there, you know what I'm saying, and still has monuments to this day to speak of its greatness. Thousands of years, tens of thousands of years. They still can't replicate this shit. But they have us falling off into the fictional shit. You feel me, family? So, family, what one of the things we want to talk about, you know, and I'm going to put this link up real quick. You know, I gotta do a little self-promotion, you know, because, you know, let me make sure I spell my shit right. The Independence Day Project, family, is popping off, y'all. The Independence Day Project is popping off. You want your copy of the Independence Day Project? All I'm gonna tell you is this. The family in Harlem came through, they saw the movie, and they still copped the movie because they want to teach this lesson. People came to the movie and they started taking notes. There was a brother I linked with outside, man. He had like about, he sent me a text message with like six, you know how your text message is too big? Like six joints, man, you know? And that's love. You know, my sister Pam, you know, shout out Sister Pamela, you know, she hit it on the dot. This, the Independence Day Project, was a message of love, black love, a love for our people. I honestly love black people. I love African people with all my heart. And this is why it hurts so hard to see us fall and stumble over the same things over and over again. It hurts to watch the shit happen time in, time out, to watch us buy into the bullshit all the time while they're systemically killing us. They're killing us, family. They're killing us through the diet. You know, what in the world are they spraying? Look at that documentary. It's not even a black documentary, but you should watch it to give you some insight as to what it is that people are going through. You know what they're doing to us, brother. I put the link in the chat, brother Pinal. So just check the link out there, brother. You get a chance. But online, the DVDs are $21.99. So. Family, you know, we have to get on the ball with understanding what's happening to us. We have to recognize game. We claim to be chess players, but we show up to chess games with marbles and bottle tops. You know, we show up to chess game trying to pitch quarters. You know what I mean? We have to get on code, family. You know, a lot of people, yeah, I see what you're saying, Brother Tariq said that his barber says, that it's over for us. I'm not of that belief, because guess what? They thought the same thing during the American Revolution, and we could learn a great deal from these white supremacists. And I'm going to get to something real quick before I jump on to what we can learn from them. But I saw some real ignorance yesterday, and I had to speak on it. I saw people talking about boycotting. The State of the Union. For what? Why do we do and say stupid shit like that? Boycott it for what? What are you trying to reduce their ratings? Nobody gives a fuck about that. What, you would have missed out on a lot of important things that weren't said if you didn't watch. You take in all the information that the enemy has to provide. You perform your own counterintelligence and your own intelligence towards that, and you gather as much information as possible. There's no such thing as bad information if you're getting it off the enemy. Specifically, if you're utilizing it, the information to empower your people. The same people telling you that some of the same dumb motherfuckers that quote Gandhi and quote Hitler, two people that hated the shit out of black people. Okay, so when we get back to, we really need to study American history. And we need to study two periods in American history. We need to study the Revolutionary War of America. We need to study it. Study what a Revolutionary War was, because we do this shit like we would try to have the black versions of European holidays. They have, you know, the 4th of July, we have Juneteenth. Well, newsflash, family, those two things are not equal and opposite the same thing, all right? Juneteenth is not black independence. When those Europeans, when those colonials fought against the supposedly at that time the greatest empire the world had ever seen, the British Empire, 3%. 3% of the population actually fought in war. 3%. All right? Take this into consideration. 3% of the population fought that war and won. It was a war of duration. It was a guerrilla warfare. But they won that war, the American Revolution. They won it. Now, and they set policy. You see, you know, because before the war was over, when they signed their name, those 56 men signed their name to the Declaration of Independence, that was technically their death warrant. They were all considered terrorists. Sound familiar? They were all considered terrorists. Now people call them the forefathers. You know what I'm saying? You see how perception changes reality? But we need to study that whole thing, how they created the movement. They used, as Brother Ajay so eloquently put it in the Independence Day Project, they use, you know, military, they use revolutionary theory and radical theory. And they presented newspapers. And they had one, Thomas Paine's Common Sense. You know, Benjamin Franklin would write in surname. He would write columns, the surname, you know, generating support for, Independence Day, generating support for the independence of America. You know, they would do those things, and they created that fervor. You know, they created that energy, and then they got enough people on board to where when they rose up against the mightiest empire in the world, they were able to defeat the mightiest empire in the world in 4 years. 4 years. They dictated the policy. They dictated the terms. Now, look at Juneteenth. Juneteenth was an Emancipation Proclamation. In other words, the captors, the enslavers, dictated to black people the liberation. So there was no liberation for black people. If somebody else is dictating it to you, they took the shackles off. That's all they did. They didn't leave any access to land. They didn't leave any access to wealth. In fact, black people went out and built their own wealth anyway, which scared the shit out of the white supremacists. And they came at it with two plans. The first plan was to capture, because they call it the black problem. What did we do for the Negro? We didn't do anything for him. Bullshit. The Negro was doing just fine, creating their own Wall Streets all over the country. There were over 50 fucking settlements in Oklahoma alone. The only one we talk about is Tulsa, because they bombed that shit in the smithereens. But they burned down the other ones too. And they had a plan. Let's say this black guy did something terrible to white women, and we're going to come in and protect all white women by killing all the black people and run them out of town. But, so here's what they did. They created the Reign of Terror, where they created the Ku Klux Klan, this terroristic group that was funded by the government and funded internationally by secret societies. To squelch any hope of African independence, because if you create African independence in America, the rest of the world, where African nations were under siege, would see that and receive their inspiration, which happened in the 60s and the 50s. The 50s and the 60s, by the way, but it would have happened a lot sooner. They couldn't stand for that. So they created a terrorist group. They created terrorism. It wasn't just the Klan. They had the red shirts and all these other shit. Then you had this other aspect where they said, well, let's educate them. Let's create these HBCUs. Y'all need to wonder why the names on those dorms are named after all these white philanthropists. It's because they wanted to control the outcome. So we teach them how to be civilized. We can take them into our nest hole, and then we can control their progress. We can put glass ceilings on their progress. So we never had liberation under white supremacy. Every movement, then, like I said, this is not new, family. In the 60s and the 70s, we had revolutionaries. And they were met with the arm, the clenched fist of white supremacy. They even created policies that went back to when Marcus Garvey had his Back to African movement. Policies. They later coined them the COINTELPRO papers. They identified potential black messiahs that needed to be eliminated. They went after groups. They had federal and state and local law enforcement serving as hit squads, going around the country, killing black revolutionaries. Study what happened to Fred Hampton. Look at what they were going after Bobby Rush, but he wasn't home. Look at what they did to move. Look at all of the black people that were speaking for revolution. They weren't talking this equal rights bullshit. They weren't talking civil rights. Not anything against our brothers and sisters, our elders and ancestors who fought for civil rights. We know better now. You know, that was the politics of the day. We weren't standing in their shoes at that time. We're still standing on their shoulders. So much reverence, love, and respect for them. But we also have to recognize too, family, that they destroyed several generations and broke the links and the chains for several generations, us from our revolutionary elders. When we talk about the Independence Day Project, it's not new, it's just new to us. I want to be frank about that. Isn't this just new to us? All right. So now we have to get back to looking at black independence. But this time we have to learn from the mistakes of our elders and ancestors. We have to be more organized. We have to be more vigilant about who we allow in our ranks. This is why I don't join organizations that allow non-blacks membership. I don't get down. If you don't identify with being black and you don't identify with being African first, then we can't bang. Because that was the mistake of a lot of our ancestors and elders. They allowed non-blacks into their ranks. They allowed even black collaborators into their ranks. No, we're investigating everybody. We need to know your story. We need to cross some T's and dot some I's. And we need to be prepared to make sacrifices. We've already made a lot of sacrifices, and there are a lot more sacrifices to be made. if we truly want to be liberated. We don't have a choice. It's either you're liberated or they wait until they, or get in line and wait until you die. That's just it. And you know, we got a lot of, you know what I'm saying? We got a lot of family out there that's ready to be liberated. We got a lot of people too that are real comfortable with being on the plantation. Stop trying to sway them. Stop trying to pull somebody in. They don't want to be saved, leave them. Hopefully they'll see the light one day. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, family, let me check out some of the comments. Let's see. Brother Altree's having a good time over here on YouTube. And I see we got family watching on the Freedom Train Radio Network as well. Make sure y'all check out the Freedom Train Radio Network, family. Got some dope ass shows on the Freedom Train Radio Network. You know what I'm saying? We have the flagship show, the Freedom Train. You know, my brother Patrick, Jamie, and Joe, and they come out there and they give you, you know, good, great interviews. Some people you never heard of, they're doing great work in the community. They're also doing, you know, features where they talk about topics like this. Then you have the dopest and illest sports show, The Fix, my brother Joe Ward. And you need to really listen to some of his rants, man. Joe goes off. Love that brother. Then you have on Wednesdays, you have Office Hours with myself and my sister Erica Tolbert. Then, you know, later on in the week, you also have my brother Patrick Irving. You have Lessons from the Screen, where he breaks down documentaries and also key events, topics that are relevant. And eventually, we're going to have a show with our sisters called Tea Time on that network. So we're building the Freedom Train Radio Network up. Make sure you go to freedomradiotrain.com and subscribe. Subscribe to, you know, Sketcher. I believe it's Sketcher. You can survive on, Apple, with iTunes, and also Android, you know, with the Google Play. You can subscribe with that and get some real down-home stuff. Also, check out my brother, Dr. Samari Swagger. He comes on earlier on Wednesdays. Check out my brother, Dr. Shamari Swagger, on The Pendulum on the Source Radio Network. I'll be sure to make sure I post links. Check out our sister, you know, Vanessa Sparks, a.k.a. Queen Tahira, Tuesdays through Fridays, you know, at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time with Sign of the Times as they get into revolutionary theory and stories and topics and things of that nature. Family, what I'm offering you is alternatives to the bullshit so you can hear people from our community speak about these topics, and so that we're not so surprised and caught off guard. You know, turn off the TV. Turn off the TV, family. Watch the news. Keep an eye out for the propaganda, but do not get sucked into these TV shows, family. Do not get sucked into the fiction. Our reality is far too exciting, to say the least, to get caught up in the fiction. So, you know, family, once again, family, I'm about to sign off, but, until next week, family, you know, make sure that you look out for people. Go check on the elderly. It's going to be cold on the East Coast. Make sure you check on the elders. Make sure they're okay. And keep a lookout on these situations, specifically the one that we're speaking of in, you know, South Africa right now with that Operation Zero Debt, you know, where they're going to enforce those policies. Look up T-Bone Pickens. Look at all the different privatized water companies. Brother Samaj, you said, okay, brother, tune into African Talk Live on Facebook every Sunday, 2 p.m., hosted by Brother Shaka Mayasa Shakur. Definitely, definitely. We got to get with Brother Shaka Shakur. That's the good brother right there. You know, yes, Brother Pinali, the link is on the page, brother. Actually, the link is pinned. The link is pinned to this broadcast. So, with that, family, you know, once again, thank everybody. I'd like to thank everybody in Harlem Liberation School for coming out this weekend. I mean, this Monday felt like a 3-day weekend because I was just in Harlem on Saturday at the Celebrate Thy Brother. And shout out to Celebrate Thy Brother and Sister Shanice Starr, Latoya Parker, and all the sisters who put that thing together, beautiful program together every year. Every year representing the brothers. Appreciate it. We love y'all, Queens. We love y'all. All right. So, family, with that said, you know, we're about to sign out. You know, we do what we do, fam. You know, we do what we do. We make it pop, we make it ride, and then you know, we bring it home. So, you know, as we roll out, family, let's start this joint off. As we roll out, family, peace, love, and black power. Black power. We will win. Yeah. I want it all for my people.